The morning we bury Pippa, it rains. A cold October rain that turns the clump of dirt in my hand into mud. When it's my turn at the graveside, it slips through my fingers onto Pippa's burnished coffin, where it makes the lightest of sounds. All morning, Spence has been a well-oiled clock of activity, everyone doing her bit, quietly and efficiently. It's strange how deliberate people are in death. All the indecision suddenly vanishes into clear, defined moments, changing the linens, choosing a dress or a hymn, the washing up, the muttering of prayers. All the small, simple, conscious acts of living, a sudden defense against the dying we do every day. The girls of first class have been allowed to travel the 30 miles to the Crosses' country home for the funeral. Mrs. Cross has insisted that Pippa be buried with her sapphire engagement ring, which, no doubt, pains Mr. Bumble greatly. He spends the entire funeral checking his pocket watch and grimacing. In deep, resonant tones, the parish vicar tells us all of Pippa's beauty and her unfailing goodness. I don't know this flat placard of a girl. I wish I could stand and give a full account of her, the Pippa who could be vain and selfish and in love with her romantic illusions, the Pippa who was also brave and determined and generous. And even if I told them all of this, it still wouldn't be a full measure of her. You can never really know someone completely. That's why it's the most terrifying thing in the world, really, taking someone on faith, hoping they'll take you on faith, too. It's such a precarious balance. It's a wonder we do it at all. And yet... The vicar gives a final blessing. There's nothing left but for the gravediggers to begin their work. They fix their caps on their heads and bite into the mud with their shovels, burying a girl who was my friend. All the while, I can feel him watching me from the trees. When I turn to look, he's there, his black cloak peeking out. As soon as Mrs. Nightwing is occupied with comforting the Crosses, I sneak away to Kartik in his hiding spot behind a large marble seraph.
I'm sorry,
he says. It's simple and direct, with none of the nonsense about God calling home an angel too young, and who are we to question his mysterious ways. Rain beats against my umbrella in a steady rhythm. I let her go, I say, haltingly, glad at last for a confession of sorts. I suppose I could have tried harder to stop her, but I didn't. Kartik lets me get it out. Will he tell the Rakshana what I have done? Not that it matters. I've already made my decision. The realms are my responsibility now. Somewhere out there, Circe waits, and I've got an order to put together again, mistakes to remedy, many things to master in time. Kartik is silent. There's nothing but the constancy of the rain in answer. Finally, he turns to me.
You've got dirt on your face.
I swipe haphazardly at my cheeks with the back of my hand. He shakes his head to let me know that I haven't gotten it. Where? I ask.
Here.
It's only his thumb brushing slowly across the lower edge of my mouth, but it's as if time slows, and the sweep of that thumb below my lip takes forever. It is no spell that I know of, but it holds such magic I can scarcely breathe. He pulls his hand away fast, aware of what he's done, but his touch lingers.
My condolences,
he mumbles, turning to go. Kartik? He stops. He's soaked to the bone, black curls matted to his head.
There's no going back. You can tell them that.
He cocks his head to one side quizzically, and I realize he's not certain whether I mean there's no backing away from my powers or from his touch. I start to clarify, but I realize I'm not certain either. And anyway, he's gone, running on strong legs to the safety of the cart I can see down the road. When I join the others again, Felicity's staring at the new grave, crying in the rain.
She's really gone, isn't she?
Yes, I say,
surprised at how sure I sound.
What happened to me on the other side with that thing?
I don't know. We look down at the mourners, blotches of black in a sea of grey rain. Felicity can't bring herself to look at me.
Sometimes I see things, I think, out of the corner of my eye, taunting me, and then it's gone. And dreams, such horrible dreams. What if something terrible happened to me, Gemma? What if I am damaged?
The rain's a cool kiss on my sleeve as I link my arm through hers. We're all damaged, somehow.